calendar there, one of the scriptures we used. I didn't know what's going to be on the calendar, but the Lord already talked to us about His soon coming. So be patient for the coming of the Lord. I do believe we're right there just any moment. So I'm looking forward to it. The first scripture I'm going to share tonight is in Hebrews 12 and 1. This. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Brother Jason shared the same scripture the other night, but I didn't realize it until later this afternoon. But just talking about just being encouraged and pressing on, you know, looking for the Lord's return, not to give up, you know, not get frustrated. And, you know, He said not be weary in well-doing. He wants us all to just be busy about His business, keep pressing forward, and He is coming soon. And I'm looking for any moment, you know, just like He said, we're in the last of the last days. And the Lord Himself told us tonight. That you may be seated. Thank you for standing. And the word patient, I looked it up. You always get a little more insight when you look things up in different ways it's worded. It says, enduring pain, trouble, etc., with composure and without complaint, and calmly tolerating insult, delay, or confusion. And none of us want to be delayed or inconvenienced in any way. You know, we just like convenience all the time in our life. In the day we live in, we're always looking for something quick and easy, like microwave dinners, you know, and snacks, Quick Trip. And you can go to just about any town, you got a convenience store about every 10 blocks or so. And people just zipping in and out. And Quick Trip, they never lock the doors, they're open around the clock. And, you know, whatever you want, run in there and grab it and go. So people don't want to be delayed, inconvenience. But we need to take time to get alone with the Lord. You know, Pastor talked about this morning, too, getting alone with the Lord in our closet of prayer and spending time with Him. That's one thing. You can't just snap your fingers and you're done. You know, you got to get in there and wait on the Lord and talk to Him, let Him talk to you. And when you do, He's going to encourage you, He's going to strengthen you and give you what you need, and He's going to help others besides you when you do that. And when we don't do that, it's pretty obvious, you know, in our life, the way we act, and we all get carnal. In 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. And I was thinking it said apt to teach patience, and I was reading it earlier, and I got to looking, I read it wrong. It's apt to teach and patient. So we're all a servant of the Lord. If we're born again, we're living for the Lord, He's got something for us to do. He wants us to be a witness for Him. We don't have to be a preacher or a teacher, but you're saying you will be a teacher, apt to teach others, you know, and be patient. And we can have a testimony in our life by the way we conduct ourselves, whether we're flying off the handle all the time or whether we're not, you know, how we deal with things. And I had a friend at work tell me years back, I worked with him in another shop, and he said, I've noticed something about you. He said, you're always calm. You don't get too excited. You know, you train kind of steady. But I thought that was good. And another one told me there was another trait in the characteristics the Holy Spirit produces it. I can't remember right offhand. My mind just went south. But anyway, another is talking about that. In the 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore." And this is another thing Pastor hit on this morning. You know, I was thinking about this. I already had it in my notes, and I was leaving Claremore this morning at the light right by work where I work, and I was thinking, you know, we ought to treat others how we want to be treated. You know, when we're so quick to forgive ourselves and overlook our faults, but yet we want to make a big deal out of theirs, you know, blow it all out of proportion. And I did that just the other day. I had one hitter I worked on, and everyone kind of does their thing to it, pass it down the line, and goes down the assembly line until it gets out the back door. But the guy before me, he made an automatic weld all the way down the length of the header. And the type of header it is called a J-bevel. And you got to get that weld right up close to the edge. And you got that flux pouring out of the hopper, you know, to cover your weld. And if you don't keep it covered up, you get porosity, and the weld just looks really ugly. But it's hard for them to keep that flux up there. But I guess he missed the bevel a little ways, a few places down through there, and left a little undercut all along down through there. And, well, when it gets to my booth, I got to fix that. And that's about another hour, you know, filling and grinding and digging down into it, trying to get it down to clean metal. And then I went and filled it up, and it got a wormhole in it, and I had to dig it deeper and went down to a slag line. It was just really frustrating. But I had another header like that maybe a week and a half ago, and it got past me. And usually when I finish the job, the inspector comes in, looks at it, he looks it over, and most of the time they don't even find anything to mark. I've been doing it for 40 years, but he, every once in a while they'll say a little spot, you know, I missed, and fix this right here, and I'll fix it, and it goes on. Well, one header I did, it got, after I got done with it, it goes to clean up, and then they go out and blast it and kind of sandblast it, and then it went on. When it got to the cleanup and over to drills, there's supposed to be another inspector looks over there besides the one that looked at it in my booth. And then it got all the way through the shop, all the way over to hydro. It was already pressured up and put tubes in it, and it was about ready to go out the back door not long after that. But a big boss called me over there, and I found three or four places down through there I'd overlooked, and I don't know how I did it. It just real obvious when you get over and you just stick it out, you know, you notice it right off. And I thought, man, how did I miss that? And there's two or three inspectors there and the big boss, and so I don't know, you usually don't have any markups, you know. But he said anyway, I went ahead and fixed it and went on my business. But it got all the way across the shop, shouldn't never got that far. It already passed like three inspectors before it got that far. But anyway, it happens sometimes. But anyway, after I had that happen, it was about a week later, I got that other header that had a problem with it, and I had to fix, and I got all grumpy and was telling the guy next booth about it, you know, grumbling, complaining, and, you know, and the Lord started dealing with me. And I don't know, keep my mouth shut. And it's happened more than once over the years, and the Lord started dealing with me. You got to go apologize to him. And I told one of the other welders, go down and tell him, you know, he can't weld, blah, blah, blah. And then next day or two, I come in, and first thing I seen him in the shop, I was just clocked in, walked over to him, and I told him what I said and what it was all about, and apologized. Well, he acted like he had a little bit of attitude about it for two or three days, they won't talk to me, and, you know, but anyway, I guess he got over it, and he is Christian too, but he, I guess the Lord must have got dealing with him on his end. Anyway, it got taken care of. But I did all I could do after I'd messed up, you know, try to make it right. That's all you can do, just apologize and try to learn from your mistakes. But that's just talking about patience, you know. We got to have it. We all need it. And we all seem to fall short so many times. And I guess one of my biggest areas where I have problem with patience is when I'm driving, going down the road. Rush hour traffic, you go through Tulsa, it's like every man for himself, look out, you know, and it's just really kind of scary sometimes. And it's getting that way in Claremore, it's getting more congested, and a certain time of day, you just don't want to be on the road. But it's about the time I'm going home, and some roads you know not to even take, because you get up there and there's a line of cars, and there's always one person won't turn left, and it's that wait for him to get out. And you ought to know, you know, go right, go around the block or something. But anyway, that's just one thing that gets on my nerves. Another thing, I can go into Walmart sometimes, and I know how you ladies like to shop. And men, they got what they got in mind, they head over and get it out the door, gone. But women go down to their cart, stop right in the middle of the aisle, just like they're in a trance, you know. Got run into, and I thought, oh, man, that's just one thing that gets under my skin. But I'm always zipping through there like a roadrunner, trying to get in, get out. But it's just like no brake lights, you know. You can get run over. But anyway, it's just another one of those areas I need to work on. We've all got them, but that's one of the places that I need to work on. In Luke 21:19. It says, in your patience possess ye your souls. Does anyone here have a soul? I think we all do. And the Bible says we're created in God's image, soul, body, and spirit. But here it's telling us, in your patience possess ye your soul. So that tells me if you don't have patience, you're going to lose your soul. That's a pretty serious thing. And we got to watch what we say, what we do, where we go, all those kind of things. And like I say, it's a learning experience. I'm thankful for God's grace, His mercy, and, you know, I just got to learn to be more forgiving and overlook others' faults, and just pray for me that I'd get my act together. And I went to a funeral of my aunt yesterday, Aunt Eunice. She was married to my Uncle Delmer. They lived in Sepulpa. It's my dad's, not the oldest brother, but next to the oldest, I believe. But is his wife, and she was about Betty's age. I think she's 90 years old. And it was quite a blessing to go to her funeral. And we know it says it's, my mind's going blank tonight. I'll get ready to quote a scripture. But blessed in the sight of the Lord is his saints. You know, at their death, I didn't quote it exact, but you know what I'm talking about. When they're ready to go, he's looking for them to come on home, and they're looking forward to being home. And her husband passed several years ago of cancer, about 10 years better. And then she just lost her oldest son about a year ago or less. And it's got one boy left, and he's the only one left in the family. You know, that could be discouraging. But anyway, she was quite a dandy. She reminds me of that story in Proverbs chapter 31. She was that type of a woman. She was a homemaker. She kept her home immaculate, and you'd never find nothing out of place and nothing dirty or anything. And she was a great cook. I remember going there when I was a young kid. We ate dinner at their house, and she fixed pheasant and quail and all these fancy dishes, you know, like you'd get in some high-end restaurant. And it was just delicious. And she loved to quilt. She made quilts all the time and had one of them draped over her casket there at the funeral yesterday, and it was beautiful. And she'd always win blue ribbon every year at the fair with them. She'd always get first place. And she was a gardener. She liked gardening. And she always raised her own vegetables and things. And she liked the trout fish. All these things I just mentioned, you know, homemaker, gardener, quilter, cook, you know, all these things, a fisherman, sheep. All these things talk about patience, you know. You have to have it to do these and do it right and do it good. But she was pretty successful at, I guess, even trout fishing. She would can trout for her families so they'd have it all year round. And she was an excellent fundraiser. In her church, she raised money. She cooked every Wednesday for, I think, 7 years, the pastor that was her pastor at that time did the funeral. He said she was a great fundraiser, pretty much the head of all of it, you know, taking care of it. Just get out of her way and let her do it. And so they paid the mortgage of the church off that way. And so you can't find too many like her. I mean, she was just about anything you needed in a woman. She was that, and she was a really good mother, trained her kids up good, and her boys really good people. And they was talking about one incident there. One of the guys that spoke at the funeral, he'd known my cousin for about 30 years, and he was telling about, she was down there at Roaring River fishing one day, and Ronnie, my cousin, he was going on down the river a little ways fishing, and then all of a sudden, someone came and hollered at him, "Your mom needs you. Get back up there." So he heads up there, and she's got a hold of some guy by the leg, the edge of the river, about to fall in, and he ain't got the strength to get her out. So Ronnie gets back up there and helps her out, and he got to teasing her and said, "Mom, you're too good a looking lady. You don't have to beg everybody and grandpa." Anyway, there's just characters like that. And just told one story how she had a garage sale, had some boots, and this friend my cousin knew for so long, he liked those boots, and they were just his size, and he decided he was going to get them. They were marked $6, and so he's trying to jure her down a little bit and get them even cheaper, you know, $6. And anyway, he says, "I'll give you $5 for those." He says, "No, you won't." And "How about $5.75? And he says, "Nope, I'd rather throw them boots away than give them to you for that price." She bickered with him. He finally got the boots, took them home and got them on, and he liked to never got them off. They were so tight he couldn't hardly wear them. He just kept them. After that, just remember that incident, how they bickered back and forth. But she said, "I'd rather throw them things away than give them to you," less than that. But she was a character. But she had patience. She pressed on, and she made it on home. And, you know, she did a lot for her family and a lot for her community. All those around her was testimony for them. And they showed her Bible she had read, and it was just falling apart. And said it looked like he'd been drugged for 20 miles, you know, and it was just tattered and ragged, but she had everything marked in it. So you know she'd been using it. And in Titus 2 and 1, says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, and temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience." So the older men, not going to name any names, but if we're up in years, it says, be temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So the Lord wants us all to be patient. And some of the little sayings I got off my study guide, it says, "Patient waiting is often the highest way of doing God's will." And it's not always easy to do what he wants us to do. You know, sometimes there's some struggle with it and some sacrifice. But if we'll just be patient, you know, he'll help us and use us. and that was Collier, Collier, that quoted that. And Franklin, he said, he that can have patience can have what he will. And I think of Job when I think of that quote, and then Joseph, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, that, I love that story, how even though everything seemed to constantly go against him, after a while it all turned around and it worked out for his good, and the Lord used it for a testimony how he saved his family. And patience is the act of canceling your impatience. So patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. And Rousseau is the man that quoted that. But I want to go to Luke 8 and verse 11. This talks about the parable of the sower. You may think I'm a little bit off track here, but it's at the end you'll see why I'm reading it. It says, it talks about verse 4 on down about the parable, and then he goes down verse 11 and he explains the parable. The Lord does. It says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. So there's going to be some patience involved bringing forth fruit. There's going to be a lot of distractions, a lot of roadblocks. The devil's going to try to steal the word from us at the very beginning. If that doesn't work, you know, he's going to bring hardships our way, any temptation, trials. And then there's doesn't work, he's going to put some pleasures and cares and things like that of this life and riches, anything to distract you and get you off track. He don't want that fruit being produced. But we got to be overcomers. We got to stay zeroed in on the Lord's work and press on despite whatever comes our way and overcome the attacks of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And the pastor touched on that also this morning. And we can't see all the way to the end of our walk we got going to heaven from where we were saved all the way to when we get home. And it'd probably scare us to death if we knew all the details. We'd look at it and we'd be overwhelmed. And, you know, my little brain would have a meltdown, a nervous breakdown, you know, be too stressful just thinking about all the things I got to go through, you know, in this journey. But when we just take it one day at a time and just follow the Lord and let him help us as we go along, there's nothing hard about it. And one TV evangelist I heard years ago, I know there's a lot of them not worth listening to, but this one thing stuck with me that one said years ago. He said, yard by yard it is hard, but inch by inch it's a cinch. So we can just look at one little area at a time, get that thing done, and then we go on to the next, you know, and just not try to do everything at once and get overwhelmed, but just take it one step at a time. And it's not that hard when you obey the Lord and just listen and obey. In James 5 and 7, it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I believe that was on our calendar this month, and didn't know it was going to be there when I put the notes in there last night, but just another witness, you know, what the Lord's directing us towards, you know, just to be patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I heard old pastor from Mounds years ago, you know, talking one time about how he had a vision of people just walking off a cliff and just perishing one after another, and they were falling right into hell. But anyway, you know, it'd be really terrible to get so close to the coming of the Lord, you know, and be right there at the finish line and then give up, you know, and get distracted, or, you know, do something stupid that would cancel our eternal life, you know, that we would fail to make it in. And we got to be careful. You know, we're so close to being home. We don't want to forget, you know, what's awaiting us. And all the distractions, all the craziness going on in the world right now, all the terrible persecution, and, you know, the fearful things. We can look everywhere and see them around us. You know, you'd be dwell on them too long, you'd get discouraged. But we just got to keep taking them to the Lord and tell him about it, and let him carry the load for us. We can't carry it ourselves. In Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And I remember one time, me and Brother Pepper, years ago, were in Bible study up in Veneta, and one little black girl, she was crying, and she was telling about how she had done all she knew to do, you know, and she just stressed out, and at the scripture I'd already had in my notes, and I don't remember what I was teaching on, but pastor was talking to her, and I had my hand up, you know, wanting to share something, and finally pastor said, let's see what Brother Shelton's got. And that's the scripture I had, and she was stressing out, and says, you have need of patience, that if you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And kind of settled her down and encouraged her. And the word of the Lord will help us, you know, like that, when we take it to heart and listen to it and apply it to our life. But we can get stressed out sometimes, just like Peter did when he was walking on the water, got his eyes off of Jesus. He started sinking, and immediately the Lord reached out and helped him, you know. But we're all going to fall short at times. We're all human. We're going to mess up. But we need the Lord's help. In no way we can make it all the way to home without his help. And Romans 8:18. I don't know if I covered that or not. We'll look at it. Help if I get in the right chapter. It says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we do look forward to the Lord's return. We are waiting on that. And we had a lesson or two back, you know, I was talking about the new heaven, new earth. I think it was a week ago, if I remember right. But the Lord, even the earth itself and all the environment and things, it's been affected by the devil. He's going to do away with that, and he's going to create a new one, a fresh one that's pure and clean and just for us, you know, to dwell in. And we are looking forward, groaning and in travail and pain together until now. It says we can almost taste it. You know, you can almost see the homes of light. We're that close, you know. But like I said, we just need to keep pressing on, being patient, being watching for the Lord. And James 5 and 7. May I just read that? I can't remember. But it says, be patient, therefore, brethren, for the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, which hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, stabs his heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It says, long patience. And they wait for the farmer goes out and he plants his crop, and he doesn't run back next day and dig it all up or haul it back in. You know, harvest it, it's going to take a while. He's going to wait on the rain to come, and it's going to have to sprout up and then grow. You know, there's going to be a process, but it all doesn't take place instantly. It's a process. And the same with our Christian walk, you know, it's going to take time, and we're going to have to be patient. It says long suffering, long patient. In Hebrews 6 and 10, it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye may be not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So faith is important in our Christian walk. That's what we start out with. It gets us in the race, and the Lord gives us all measure of faith. We are born again. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, but yet we also have to have that hope. And then it says here that we have to have patience to inherit the promise. There's going to be a lot of things come to try to discourage us. The devil's not going to lay down and just let us march in. He's going to fight us all the way. And this makes it that much more interesting, and just shows how much bigger our God is. You know, he's going to take us through despite what the enemy's throwing at us. In James 5 and 11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So it says, count them happy that endure. I don't think there's ever been a Christian yet that made it over into heaven that was discouraged or disappointed, you know, and thought, well, I thought there would be more to this, you know. It's a place going to be wonderful, nothing to complain about. It's going to be something we can't even fathom right here, right now. You know, it's going to be so beautiful. And all the things that won't be there, it makes it even better, all the bad things that we are experiencing now. In Psalms 37 and 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And pastors always also mentioned this morning, you know, not to be one to try to get revenge or being grudging towards anyone. You know, it's down here, it says, cease from anger, forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And don't be one to try to get even. When someone does you wrong, just pray for them and hold them up in prayer and love them. It's what the Bible tells us we need to do. I know it's easier to say than it is to do, but it's what we are commanded to do. In Lamentations 3:25, The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So the Lord is good to them that wait for him. And all the expectation, all the waiting, it's going to be worth it one of these days. It's going to pay off. And we look back and see what the Lord's brought us through. And it's just that much more to rejoice about. And thinking how we have overcome. And he's going to have rewards for each one that does. And if we don't overcome, we won't be entering in. It's only through his help that we're able to. But he's given us everything we need to make it in. There's no excuse for us not making it. Excuse me. In Luke 9:51, it says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven, consume them, even as Elias did?' And he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went on to another village." So this is another one of them situations where we need a little more patience. And things ain't going our way. It's no time to blow up and throw a hissy fit or anything, you know, get all bent out of shape. But we got to just let the Lord handle it. And I know I've done told on myself. There's so many things I haven't told on myself about. You know, the Lord's already forgiven me about. I've done told him about them. And I'm thankful, you know, their mistake is written in the Word of God. Ours aren't posted in here for everyone to read for generations. But there is going to be a record kept. You know, everything we do, good and bad, and we'll be rewarded accordingly. But the books are going to be opened, and the book of life is the main one we need to be in. And we make it in that one. The others, we'll receive rewards for some, and we won't receive rewards for other things if it's the wrong motive and things like that. But the key to possessing our soul is patience. So we don't want to forget that. We all need it, and we could all use more of it. And I know it talks about how tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So it's not a fun road to travel down to get there, but we all got to have it. Thank the Lord that he knows what is best for us. And I'll turn it to you, Pastor.